Today is Trinity Sunday, a time when many churches focus their thoughts on how Christians experience the one God in three different ways: Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. As you probably come across, there are all sorts of convoluted ways to describe the relational dynamic. And there's many books on the subject, one of which I bought once. It was so complex I promptly got rid of it. Why do theologians make something so easy to understand quite so complicated? By the way, that's a rhetorical question. It's just how we humans know about God. Same person, different settings. That's all. Now, as you well know, images help me to process ideas, and I'd like to share with you briefly this morning three interpretations in art of the Holy Trinity. So, Richard, can we have the first one? Thank you. The first is a sculpture that's above the front door of Holy Trinity Church in Blythburgh. That's the place near Southwold. Have you ever been? Fantastic church, has loads of beautiful carved wooden angels in the roof. It's superb. And I really like the way that you see the three different aspects that emerge from just one block of stone. Very, very well done. But in some ways, it's also rather too good at illustrating the church doctrine aspect of the Holy Trinity. It's fixed in stone. And as good nonconformists, we question such matters. So, the second, please, Richard. This one is a Celtic style knot in a church window, but I can't remember where I found it. I rather like it, as it shows the interweaving aspects of the Trinity, with each part equal, but portrayed in different colours. The downside is that it's just a shape, and the Holy Trinity, of course, is relational. So we move on to a third picture. This third one is a painting that Pauline and I bought many years ago. It's actually a painting of three dancers, but it works for me as a way to imagine the Trinity, God embodied in a dynamic dance of life, each separate but somehow intertwined. But even that one's not perfect, because are the three dancers too separate from each other? Well, there's many others, especially, of course, that famous icon by Rublev. All of these things can help you understand the joy in being able to know and experience Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. Maybe you have a favourite image too, and that might be a conversation starter over a cuppa a little bit later on. But anyway, there's just some to get you started with. And because it's Trinity Sunday, there is really only one hymn that you can sing today. And so we stand to sing, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy, holy, holy.
we turn to God's holy word in the Bible, and I'd like to invite Barbara forward to read to us some excerpts from John chapter 15 and 16, and this Barbara will be reading from the Message translation.
When the friend I plan to send to you from the Father comes, the Spirit of truth issuing from the Father, he will confirm everything about me. You too, from your side, must give your confirming evidence, since you are in this with me from the start. I've told you these things to prepare you for rough times ahead. They are going to throw you out of the meeting places. There will even come a time when anyone who kills you will think he's doing God a favour. They will do these things because they never really understood the Father. I've told you these things so that when the time comes and they start in on you, you'll be well warned and ready for them. I didn't tell you this earlier because I was with you every day, but now I'm on my way to the one who sent me. Not one of you has asked, "Where are you going?" Instead, the longer I've talked, the sadder you've become. So let me say it again, this truth. It's better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the friend comes, the Spirit of the truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed out of all that I have done and said. He will honour me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I've said, he takes from me and delivers to you.
Thanks be to God for his holy word for us today. Amen. I now have an apology to Richard. I completely made a mess of the order of service. So can you reverse the slide and we come to our opportunity to gather together our offerings for the work and the mission of our church. Let us pray. Thank you, Almighty God, for everything we receive from you, and we ask you now to accept our gifts given to you, the money in the bags, money given through bank accounts, and our very lives given in your worship and service. Amen. Our next hymn also continues with our Trinitarian theme, God with us.
Thank you.
in a remote part of Norfolk. As I usually do, I checked out the route before I set off using Google Maps. Except on this occasion, the postcode didn't match up with where I thought I was going. So I tried my trusty Norfolk A to Z. That wasn't much help either. As the postcode wasn't much help, it meant that the sat-nav would be useless too. So in the end, I tried the old-fashioned version. I phoned up to ask for directions. Well, once I knew where the house was, it was easy to work out the route. Or so I thought. The first part of the journey was straightforward enough, and I got to North Walsham without any problem. I then followed the instructions I prepared right up to the point where the road I wanted was no entry. After that, I got mixed up in a very strange one-way system. Is anybody trying to drive now around North Walsham? Yeah, you know what I'm on about. I was left guessing. My first, second, and third guesses got me even more lost. But at least I found the other end of the road that I was supposed to take and discovered that both ends of it were no entry. In the end, my fourth guess seemed to be working. But there weren't any signs to the village that was in the direction I needed. Well, not until after I'd actually left the town. After that, I was looking for a single-track lane that I knew the name of and found it on my second guess because there wasn't a name on the road. Eventually, an hour and a half after I'd set off, I arrived at the house opposite the church. There wasn't a village, just a Saxon church and a thatched cottage, both surrounded by fields. Properly rural. Anyway, I was only just over an hour late. I was welcomed with a beaming smile, tea and cake. You see, it solves everything. And I was reassured that I wasn't the only person who had got lost on the way. Oh, well, it was an adventure of sorts that ended in good company and a sense of satisfaction that at long last I'd found the way. Yes, I managed to find my way back. I've got to go back again on Tuesday. The gospel reading set for today from John includes an interesting interplay between God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure that you will have heard many a sermon on the Trinitarian concept of experiencing God. But today I'm not going to expand on that theme again. Instead, it's the setting of this section of teaching from Jesus to the disciples that I think is going to be most helpful for us today. In very broad terms, the churches in the Norwich area, United Reformed Church, and Ipswich Road in particular, are about to face a similar situation to the disciples. A period of change, uncertainty even. As such, I hope that turning to Jesus' explanation of the role of the promised Holy Spirit will help you onward into the future. As always, please, please don't draw any literal parallels, for their situation is not ours. It's the broader view to look for, not any precise examples. And the first area to look at is similar to that journey of mine the week before last. I knew the destination. I even had a description of it and knew about the first part of the route. We too all know what we hope will be our final destination, to be at home with our Saviour. We also, all of us, know about the immediate future, both for you here at Ipswich Road, which will involve Pauline and I retiring from stipendiary ministry and moving away to a different part of the country. At that point, you will face a situation that you have all been in before, a time without anyone in the role of minister. But on this occasion, exactly what happens in this interregnum is unknown because of the complex dynamics of the deployment of ministers right across the whole of the United Reformed Church. And I appreciate that this prospect may seem unsettling, scary even. Trying to find your way for the first time usually is. This is why the promise by Jesus of a guide is worth remembering. It's helpful to me and Pauline too, because I haven't ever retired before. Before I start looking at the biblical text, I'll also remind you that there will be continued help and support and guidance from Synod as well. But the most important words from Jesus to his disciples of the day and to all disciples of every day since are to be found in John 14, verse 18. When I go, you will not be left alone. This is why the promise of the Holy Spirit is so important, both then and now. Let me remind you of the words of Jesus as translated by Eugene Peterson in The Message, and I quote, "I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth." I've chosen the Message translation of the Bible as I like the description of the Holy Spirit as a friend. It's a mirror image of Jesus calling his disciples friends. And it helps my imagination to think of the Spirit as a friend, someone who is always there for you, trustworthy. And it's someone who tells you as it is. As John entitles her, the Spirit of Truth. And there are two further aspects of the presence of the Holy Spirit that emerge from this text. The first is that one of the roles of this friend is to act as a guide. This appears in chapter 16, verse 13. As Peterson phrases the passage, "When the friend comes, the Spirit of Truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you." These words of Jesus give us such reassurance for whatever lies ahead, that even if we don't know which route to take at any one moment or in any situation that might arise, you will have a friend taking you by the hand to guide you. I love the idea that we are given a friend, a living person to take us by the hand. We aren't given a map, or a sat-nav, or an app on your phone. No, not any kind of inanimate gadget that, yes, might be able to talk to us, but falls far short of a friend to interact with. Someone who understands us really deeply. Even if there is a bit of a wait for a minister to come and accompany you onwards, you already have that friend that Jesus asked God to send to be with you, guiding you, whatever might happen in the future. And yes, it might not always be plain sailing either. I expect some of you are concerned about the future. Well, look back, the disciples certainly were, as Jesus had told them that he would soon be executed, and that they would be ejected from their places of worship, and that others would be hunting them down. At this point, I expect we're all very glad that we are not in their particular position. But I still urge you to hear the reassurance from Jesus that none of us are abandoned, that whatever there is to come in the future, each of us and this church family will be accompanied by a friendly guide that Jesus asked God to send to our aid. And the final point that I wish to draw our attention to from the text is that we have a living person as a guide, not a set of instructions or a set of orders or a rule book. As with any friendship, the relationship mirrors the dynamic, relational nature of the Holy Trinity. You see, there is an ebb and flow of information. There will be joy. There may be mistakes, misunderstandings. It may be necessary to stop at the no entry sign and reassess before then heading onward to new discoveries. Jesus himself said that what was to come must be interactive. Again, I will quote to you from the Message translation. You too, from your side, must give your confirming evidence, since you are in this with me from the start. You, me, we are in this with Jesus, guided by the Holy Spirit, who was sent by God. None of us know what the future holds, but there is clear hope here at Ipswich Road, with new members arriving, though it is sad that others have chosen to join other churches for their part of the journey. In this church, there is life. There is vibrant energy. There are fresh ideas emerging. And very soon, there will also be new possibilities to share the gospel of Jesus with the aid of the new technology that Synod are providing. A whole new horizon will open up. And I pray, new friends to join the journey with you. So hear those words of encouragement from Jesus and head onwards on this bright sunny day with a spring in your step in the company of the Holy Spirit, and look forward with eager anticipation to the next part of the journey. Amen. Let us sing together once more. Thanks to God. Please do be seated. Let us pray. Three in one God, you are holy, 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 yet nothing can separate us from your love. You are the maker of heaven and earth, yet you know each one of us through and through. We pray for our planet, and that we may find ways to take care of the home you have given us. Three in one God, you are holy, holy, holy. You are perfect in Christ, and you show us the way of life. We pray for those we know who are struggling with life's difficulties at this time. And we pray this morning for Vera and for Gordon, for the family of George Reeves, for Moby, Doreen and Vince, Jackie and John, Lillian, Bridget and the Ukrainian families. And in a short time of quiet, we speak those names in the depths of our hearts. For Lord, you know the people we are concerned for this day. Three in one God, you are holy, holy, holy. You are the eternal Word, and you speak to each of our hearts. We pray for everyone involved in the sharing of the good news of the gospel. Ministers, teachers, community workers, those in training, and lay preachers too. Three in one God, you are holy, holy, holy. You are the Spirit of peace. And we pray for peace in our world, not just an end to the fighting, which is the start, and which is so needed at the moment in the terrible horrors of the Ukraine war, but we pray for real peace that is built on mutual respect and understanding. Three in one God, you are holy, holy, holy. You are unchanging and eternal. You are the beginning and the end. You touch every moment of our lives. Three-person God, we will never cease to praise you, and through the person of Jesus we offer our prayers as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We come to our final hymn this morning, Eternal God.
Thank you. Go in peace to love and serve
the Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each one of us, our loved ones, and those we have prayed for this day. Amen.